a little review. What points did we discuss yesterday evening? New points?
Yesterday, Maharaj Parikshit was caught in Kali Yuga. He was dressing like king and he was beating by the leg of the ox. And he is asking questions in relation to Lord, in any topics, in relation to Krishna.
Say a whole sentence. Any topics in relation to Krishna. Say a whole sentence. That's not a whole sentence. Say a whole sentence. What about any topics in relation to Krishna? What about it? What's the point you're trying to make? Go ahead. Don't get nervous. Just say it.
We are asking how Parikshit Maharaj functions in Kali Yuga.
So connect those two. In relation to Krishna and Maharaj Parikshit punishing, how are the two connected? You're too nervous to sort it out right now. We'll come back to you.
Of Kali, my hearing and my strong devotional practices.
We certainly made that point, didn't we? How is it that by hearing and by strong devotional practices we can diminish the influence of the symptoms of Kali? Can you elaborate on that point a little bit?
My strong devotional practice is mode of ignorance and passion. Who are a strong devotion practice will be able to do lots of things in a very short time.
Why?
Because the battery is charged.
Okay. When your battery is charged, you can do a lot of things in a short time, right? If this was a different form, it might make it easier. If you knew me better, you wouldn't be so nervous. I think you're just, that's part of the problem here. What are some...
Because the strong spiritual practices will bring Krishna into our lives. When Krishna is there,
listen.
Maya will not be, influence of Kali will be not into our life. That's why, systematically, we must hear and pray about the glories of Krishna, which diminishes the influence of Kali.
So, you heard the point? Can you say it in your own words now?
A strong emotional practice, we can bring Krishna in our life.
That's right.
By that, in terms of Maya, in our life.
There's Krishna, there's no Maya.
And
Maya means the absence of Krishna.
and Krishna will come by hearing.
So you also have made a point about the modes, the lower modes of nature. Could you connect? How that works? By strong spiritual practices, we're bringing Krishna in. Now, what does that have to do with the modes of nature? I'm not disagreeing, I'm just asking you to elucidate a little bit.
Persons who don't like Krishna in life, in their life, they have so much workload. Like, a lot of fashion people say, I have no time.
They don't. because that mode of passion has filled up their life.
And ignorant people can say, that I'm so tired.
Yeah. Krishna is the controller of the modes of nature, and he can reduce, by his influence, he can reduce the lower modes of nature and bring the higher quality, the higher character of life. So to take that step requires some faith, along with good association. Okay, any other points that we discussed? Yes. You're free to look at your notes, by the way. This isn't, you're not getting an exam. This is discussion. Go ahead.
I'm going to recommend the thing for my own, getting all the facilities and all the abilities.
Yeah.
And to be grateful to whom, from my own, getting the thing. And from that source, that is from Krishna only.
Yes.
And we should practice Krishna consciousness so that we can develop higher qualities and abilities and to give to others also.
That point was brought up particularly in relation to approaching your academics in Krishna consciousness, but to illustrate academics, it can be just everyday things in Krishna consciousness. Walking out the door and walking down the street. We do it every day. How can we do that in Krishna consciousness? By seeing things coming from their source and then acting, interacting with them in that consciousness. And then extend that principle to abilities and resources and gifts and things that you have at your disposal. With a grateful heart, acknowledge where they've come from. And since they come from someplace, that someplace is the proprietor, the owner, and the enjoyer. It defines our position, the servant of that source. And as a source just happens to be a very loving person, who can accept offerings that we make if we make them in love and with genuine feelings of devotion. So those things, whatever it is that we have at our disposal, whatever resources, should be seen in that way and offered in that way. Anything else? Someone else have anything? Yes.
This human form of life is especially when we give the examples of people who are wasting their time in newspapers and products and certification. So, everyone welcomes the illusion. So, one should work for Krishna's. You know, just to give an example of the enemy's heart to be connected and spiritualize our self by praying chanting and throughout the.
Very nice. Next.
Maharaj, you are saying that Brahmins and
Kshatriya. The administrators have to control the influence of Kali. Whereas now the modern administrators are increasing slaughtering of
Kali.
In the example, Krishna and Temple Krishna saying that he used to be.
It's very, we just live with it, but when you look at it, what it really is, it's shocking. It's shocking. It's worth saying it again. The very same people or character types that Maharaj pictured would challenge and confront and punish are today's leaders. So, what can we expect in the people in general? Or another way around, as Prabhupada would say, naturally the people in general elect a person like them by the process of democracy. The whole system is a doomed, foolish system, but it's a system that was created out of frustration with persons who were in the position of kings that weren't elected, but they had not proper qualifications, so they were abusive of the authority and the wealth and the position that they had. So get abused this way or get abused that way. Take your choice. Not a healthy choice. Therefore, the Bhagavatam advocates that from as early an age as possible, one gets systematic training in the spiritual values and spiritual character, spiritual principles of life. So at least those individuals can be citizens within this world that are making the right kind of impact upon the quality of life within this world. Although there's a lot of opposition. Just, you know, the river is running swiftly that way, and those who are aspiring for this way of life, this is a swift stream, moving upstream. There's not a lot of support infrastructure going on. So it takes a very intelligent person who can see what's going on and very determined, and a shelter-taking person. Get lifted up above that swift stream that's moving. And good association. Any other points you'd like to bring up? Yes.
All that show the devotee business is standard and performing service on the devotee charges, the whole atmosphere will be
expressed.
And in Bhakti, in the very conduct,
who didn't appreciate? Just clarify, who did not appreciate? Repeat what you just said about being not appreciated.
The housewife appreciated how for last 30 years no one is how he's maintaining to the next standard and everything is completely clean.
He's saying Maharaj, devotee's conduct is exemplary so that even materialists could appreciate.
Yeah.
He was giving an example of case when how sooner I was appreciating for the last 30 years, he didn't have a tenant like that.
Right. Even worldly people that don't know what's spirit and what's matter can be attracted. And have their lives. And that means that individual may not become a sadhaka in this lifetime. But his life is eternally, permanently impacted. And little accumulations of agyata sukriti can change that person's life. I'm sure that from time to time they give him prasad and so on. But even aside from the attraction of the tongue, just the attraction of Okay, that's nice. That's, yeah. Yeah.
And
remaining points or rules to carry on? Took a tour throughout his kingdom, and he saw this scene, and so the Shanaka Rishi is asking, why did he only punish him? Why didn't he kill him? And then some this discussion about the qualities of a devotee. They themselves are interested in these subject matters, and Sutta is interested in these subject matters because they're in relation to Krishna, and therefore it has an elevating factor in life. The converse is that worldly-minded people who are unaware of the spiritual purpose of life, or they may be mildly aware, but they're just lazy and they don't do anything. They will not be attracted to these subjects and certainly not get the right understanding from these subjects. All their endeavors go for nothing. It's a strong language of the Bhagavatam, but from an absolute perspective, this was the summary point was also made. It ends up in nothing. It's like a dream. Whenever one, the circumstances of a dream, as soon as the dream is over, it's over. So, text 10, Sutta Goswami said, when Maharaj Parikshit was residing in the capital of the Kuru Empire, what's the capital of the Kuru Empire? Hastinapur, right? The symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. He took up his bow and arrows and prepared himself for military activities. Now, he's a virtuous king. He's not interested in going and bashing people or expanding his empire, or, you know, he's not one of those kind of kings. Although certainly in history there have been those kind of kings. His interest was protecting religious principles. And where religious principles were being deviated from, that's where strength is required. So, the point is made in the purport as well that a virtuous king doesn't like to see vice. On the other hand, a king likes combat, just like the purport is. A person who likes sports, and there's a match, whatever it is, some sporting event they like. because they're sports people. So kings, similarly, they like chivalry. They like the opportunity to use their strength. They like it. It's their nature. And abuse is when inappropriate or except in appropriate manners, proper use is only when there is the right circumstance does that strength get used, and otherwise it's contained or checked. And abuse is there's not provocation, there's not requirement, there's not a religious purpose involved, but rather a selfish purpose. Prabhupada said that since the Kurukshetra battle, there has not been a religious war. Now, in anybody that knows world history, there's so many religious wars. The Crusades and wars and wars and wars. And so many wars. But the purposes behind those battles were domination and control, not seeing to the upholding of religious principles. Although lip service was given. So, in the purport, Prabhupada discusses the symptoms of the age of Kali. So we've heard some of the symptoms of the age of Kali. See if we can list some, and I'll start off and see if you can add some. Symptoms of the age of Kali are where the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas are at odds with each other. There's not the principle of respect one for the other's service, and so there's neglect or disrespect. Another is deterioration of good qualities. Good qualities are deteriorated because people are not situated in devotion to the Supreme Lord, just like any one of us. Someone who practices, that the potential to manifest good qualities is there in everybody. And it doesn't as fully manifest as when one takes up a life of devotion. And then, naturally, one becomes decorated with good qualities. Naturally, it happens like that. Krishna decorates one with good qualities. So, the symptom of the age of Kali is good character deteriorates. Just a comment about that. I don't want to get too sidetracked. I want to come back to what are symptoms of the age of Kali. But I don't know if I mentioned this. Did I describe to you an encounter that I had? Yeah, I must have. On the train coming here, when I came from Mayapur. I got in the compartment of the train. You were with me. And director of education for Jari Kant was in the same car. You remember hearing that description? Yes? No? Yes. So, the problem of... He brought up a point about feeding people. Providing wholesome meals in the primary and elementary education of public schools. And that was describing to him value education. That was the wish of the Times of India to make as their contribution to checking the influence of this terrorism. But you will not have value education. They use the word value education because they have to keep it very secular. They can't say spiritual qualities. They say value education. It means build, you know, character development, which is the basis of good character, or good qualities within society, is it rests on spirit. The quality of goodness becomes enhanced or nurtured and developed when one's in contact with the soul, when consciousness is on a spiritual platform. And conversely, when one's consciousness is drawn away from the spiritual platform, ignorance and passion increase. When you're looking at the light, you don't see shadow. The shadow is behind you. When your attention is away from the light, you see shadow. You don't see the light. Very simple. So if, in order to bring good qualities, persons have to, it's not an option, the solution is a spiritual solution. The solution is a spiritual solution. The problem is a material problem, and the solution is a spiritual solution. You can't just manage the shadow without dealing with turning your attention to the light. The shadow of material existence. So, what are some other symptoms of the age of Kali that we've been describing?
People have quarrels and
something. Yeah. People are arguing over nothing.
They are lazy. They're very disturbed.
Yeah.
Also unfortunate.
Okay. These are from the first canto. I mean, from the first chapter. Some of the symptoms that we discussed just in these early verses.
Discussing that specifically how and now distraction in so many ways. Influence of Chinese orthodoxy. Infrastructure is basically not a lava situation. People are naturally not inclined towards spiritual thought.
Yeah. What else? This is some of the points we're covering in review already. The understanding of protection, of Brahminical culture, and the cow is going down like anything. And another symptom we spoke about is persons who don't have qualification. In fact, they're ones not respecting political culture and not protecting the cow, they become persons in government office. Everything is downside up and upside down. But in this purport, Prabhupada discusses the four pillars of sinful life that is a symptom of the age of Kali. So our four regulative principles are derived scripturally. It's not just Prabhupada pulled them out of the air and put them on the table. But they're scripturally based. These four primary sinful activities are symptomatic of the age of Kali. And this is what Maharaj Pariksit heard, that in his kingdom that these things were going on. And he was shocked, which Prabhupada says it means prior, they just didn't go on. They were unheard of. Unheard of. And so he immediately got into the protection mode to see that it stops. Specifically, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that Maharaj Pariksit wanted to punish the miscreants indulging in the symptoms of Kali. That's the symptoms of Kali, meaning these four sinful activities. And thus save the innocent citizens who are pure in habit by culture of religion. So in the age of Kali, we have some persons who adhere to religion. And, you know, with there's integrity in their life to stay in harmony and under the protection of the codes of Vedic culture. Then there's another group of people beginning during Maharaj Pariksit's reign that would directly violate these principles. And he was ready to, with his sword and bow and arrows, apprehend these people and punish these people. And the reason is to give protection to those who are pure in habit by culture of religion. It's part of this, the duty of the king. Now, if the king isn't trained, what to speak of if the king is himself indulging in all those things? What kind of leadership? One of our sannyasis, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, has a graduate from Princeton University, the African American devotee, and he's an extremely gifted speaker. Right now he's in a very serious condition. He has melanoma cancer in his foot, so he's out of commission, and hopefully he'll be cured of that problem. He's taking treatments, but one of the gifts that Krishna has given him is the ability to influence, speak to leaders of countries. He's a very, very powerful person, very charismatic and very powerful in his speaking and very gentle in his character personally. He's a very interesting individual. And one of the things that he has a series of seminars, but one of them is the problem that exists in leadership today of misbehavior on the illicit sex platform. I mean, there's lots of problems, but that's a very prominent problem. Leaders caught indulging in illicit activity, illicit sexual activity. It's not just the President of the United States. How shameful, but across the board, the CEOs of big companies and so forth, they have to get pulled out of their seat because of sexual impropriety. These are the leaders. The leaders are they're so fundamentally lacking in moral character. So what do you expect the people in general to be? They're going to be like a leader. Big prize, not just. I don't know all of what he knows. You know, I haven't attended the whole seminar, but he's described in the seminar. He goes on for about 20 minutes, just explaining this example, that example, this example, that example, this example, that example, this example. And it crushes the trust of the people in any kind of leadership. And it just opens the door for them to rush in and do the same thing. As long as you don't get caught. That's basically the rule of the road. It's abominable. How can you have progressive society with that situation? And then there's the embezzlement and financial flimflammery that goes on. And that's a whole other one. But So what about the innocent people? There must be a meter who understands this principle of giving protection to Brahminical culture. And those that are conforming their lives to the standards of Brahminical culture that span across time, not just it's for ancient times and it doesn't apply today. That's ridiculous. There are principles. So protection must be given. And then Prabhupada addresses another ridiculous statement that I haven't heard so much, but apparently he has heard. Oh, in the age of Kali, things just become deteriorated, so don't get so excited. Don't make a big deal about it. They're predestined. It's going to happen anyway. So don't get bent out of shape over it. But no, the person that understands the principles of protection, and they have that authority to give protection in a reasonable manner, they must act. In an appropriate manner, they must act. They must speak up. But how can they do that if they're not clean? If they themselves are implicated? So the leader has to be properly trained. The next few verses describe the specific activity of Maharaj Parikshit. When he went on this tour, he prepared his chariot drawn by black horses and a flag of a lion on the chariot. The Prabhupada makes a comparison with his grandfather Arjuna. White horses instead of black horses, and the flag of Hanuman instead of the flag of a lion. But like Arjuna, very chivalrous, fearless, for the purpose of religious principle. And when he traveled, it wasn't just his chariot, it was all many, many chariots, cavalry, elephants, infantry, foot soldiers. And they left the capital to go in all directions to conquer. So Prabhupada's his comment is that in Vedic culture, even the matter of doing battle was very colorful and very attractive. The purpose was right, the culture was right, the principles were right. And he went to many different areas. There's one verse where it's connected to the fifth canto describing the structure of the universe, and it's also in the purport Prabhupada talks about in Mahabharata. There are different varshas, Hari Varsha, Kimpurusha Varsha, Bharat Varsha, and so many varshas. Where the characteristics of those places are described in Mahabharata, the terrain, the appearance of the people, their culture, their beauty, their opulence or their poverty, the mountainous, you know, the landscape. We get a little picture of the territory. One of the territories that he went to was the Himalayas, where in the purport it explains where Shukadeva Goswami was born, meaning that's where Vyasadeva was residing. And that's an area where Maharaj Parikshit also went. So even desolate, remote areas, he brought all of his military. And his purpose was twofold. It was to very strongly establish religious principles are what's followed in my kingdom. And by strong government like that, the miscreants hide. They don't flourish. There was a period of, so just a little anecdote, there was a period of time when New York, because I'm based in New York, it was a place where people were just afraid to go because it was so dangerous. Not to speak of at night, even during daytime. Anything could happen at any time in any place. Some robber, some mugger, some bandit, somebody. And so it was really hurting the economy, because tourism is a big part of the economy of New York. So there was a mayor who was, he wasn't a religious man, but he was very, very strong. One of the first things he did was, several things. He fixed the roads, because they were in terrible condition. People that come from out of the city don't like going into the city anyways, which speak if the roads are terrible. And he made the police force very strong. One of our GBC sannyasis, his name is Devamrita Swami. His father is a lifetime police officer in the New York Police Force. So he was described, Devamrita Swami was describing to me what he did. I don't want to get too far afield, but they computerized each of the precincts, each of the areas where they have police base, and they determined how many crimes were committed, and they put a captain in charge of that precinct. And his job was not just to capture criminals, but to bring the incidents, the number of crimes, down. Like, you know, find out where the problem is before it happens. Befriend the local people, find out who's the problem, troublemaker, and, you know, check the troublemakers before the problem happens. And they would have 6 months. If they couldn't bring the incidents of crime down, they're out. Somebody else was brought in. They very systematically computerized the whole thing. And the economy of New York City started to grow because it became a safe place to go. Tourism was doubling, tripling, quadrupling because people felt safe. They could come there now. And then after he finished his, they allowed 2 terms of office, that was it, and the crime is back up again. Just using this as a point that when the government is strong, and particularly Maharaj Pariksit by spiritual influence driving the influence of Kali away, by presence then it makes the influences of Kali subside. The government must be strong. In the absence of strong government, the agents of Kali will flourish. But the strong, once again, the strong government must use that strength appropriately. If the government uses that strength abusively, then nobody likes it. Even the people that are protected. Because the government, they're next to be abused by who knows what. So, not only strong, but the religious king, what's wanted is a strong leader who's himself an emblem of virtue. That's ideal. So Prabhupada summarizes, in other words, Maharaj Pariksit conquered all the world. He conquered all the continents, adjoining all the seas and oceans in all directions. East, west, north, and southern parts of the world. He was a powerful king. Yes. We're getting that picture of his qualification. And the last verse I want to discuss, text 13 through 15. Whenever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his grandfathers. for all devotees of the Lord. That's the grandfathers, that's the Pandavas. And also the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. I'm not sure what the Sanskrit word for this is, but there are certain Brahmins who do this service. They're bards in the English language. They don't do ceremonial functions. They're like historians. And they sing. So when a king would come, the bards would entertain the king. And they would sing the glories of his ancestors in musical accompaniment. So in this particular case, because his ancestors were the Pandavas, and Krishna was their cousin, it was a spiritual festival. Absent that kind of virtue from the ancestors or forefathers, that same principle happens. The present custom is an age-old custom. The present custom is someone comes and they're received as a political dignitary representing some country, and they're honored with gifts and they're offered praises and so forth and so on. Now, where there's a lack of culture, the culture of no culture, these things are missing. We see that modern dignitaries, they get together and there's the handshake. You see the picture of this dignitary shaking hands with that dignitary. That's a Western culture of no culture. But in the Vedic culture, the brahmanas of a certain group, that was their service, they would be musically skilled and poetically skilled and historically skilled, and in the right circumstance, this was their thing. Their service was to receive an honored person in this manner, in a very festive and cultural manner. And so, right within the purport, excuse me, within the verse, the king, being very pleased with the singers of such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to award them very valuable necklaces and clothing. He's coming by his influence, make sure that the influence of Kali was checked. But he was also extracting tribute or taxes from the various kings. And they were happy to do that because he was Maharaj Pariksha. They're happy to give him valuables and gifts. But his business wasn't just, he was on a collection program. He was also giving gifts out of the treasury of the king, suitably remunerating the brahmanas and people in general as the magnanimous king, receiving and giving. Again, this metaphor that was used earlier, the cloud takes water from the ocean and large bodies of water, gathers it in the form of a cloud and pours it here and there, and it runs down the mountains and back into the ocean. From the highlands back to the lowlands into those reservoirs again. So the king is like a cloud. He just gathers taxes and distributes those taxes. Specifically, when there's one of the duties of the treasury of a government is when there's a famine or a shortage or a problem, they have something in their treasury. They can bring supplies, grain, and whatever it is, because they have it in their treasury. They have it in their treasury because they're taking taxes. For the purpose of taking taxes is not just to get fat and rich, it's to distribute it in the proper ways. So a virtuous leader will understand that the purpose of the resource that they have at their disposal is to give protection and give provision and to give, reciprocate with these wonderful cultural services that are being performed. So it wasn't just the false words of flattery so they get something back. It's genuine glorification of the Pandavas and Krishna. Prabhupada takes up the substantial portion of his purport and explains this principle that I'm even tempted to read it. Let's just try to explain it. That the Lord and his devotees are inseparable. The nature of a devotee is their attraction is to Krishna. And their whatever it is that they do, it's in that spirit of devotion to Krishna. So because they have that attitude towards Krishna, Krishna comes. Krishna is there for them. Maharaj Parikshit would not have been glad to hear about the glories of his forefathers had they not been connected with the acts of Lord Krishna. The Lord specifically descends to deliver his devotees. The devotees are glorified by the presence of the Lord because they cannot live for a moment without the presence of the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is present for the devotees by his acts and glories, and therefore, so there's this reciprocation. The devotees feel this connection and dependence upon the Lord. Because of that disposition towards him, he comes. They can't live without him, and he's attracted by that love that they have for him, so he's part of their life. So their lives become glorious along with their feelings of love and dependence upon him. It's a mutual admiration society. Both Krishna brings glories to his devotees, and the devotees want to bring the glories forward of Krishna. And like some of these other comments that were made in the review, because of that spiritual presence of Krishna in their lives, the lives of the devotees, good qualities become manifest, the darkness of ignorance and passion becomes dissipated, and wherever they go, they bring that light also into the lives of others. And that's true whether a king or a brahmana. Actually, I'll just cover one more. Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of Krishna's causeless mercy, Krishna, who was universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of services to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger friend, night watchman, etc. According to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. Pretty amazing. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, this point that's being made here is expanded into like a whole chapter of a book of how the Pandavas were such recipients of Krishna's mercy that because of their affection for him, and this is a mystery to people who aren't devotees, they just don't get it. But for devotees, it just makes them, their attraction for Krishna stronger. That he has, his quality is that as persons approach him with love, then he becomes very affectionate according to their love for him. And the affection of love of the Pandavas was so great that they treated him like an equal or like a subordinate. The obvious case in point is Krishna becoming the charioteer in our culture is, you know, the taxi driver or the chauffeur, who in the relationship of the person who is being driven, what he's subordinate. Maybe be his car, but you get in the car and he's at your beck and call. You go here and go there, turn left, turn right, don't go. So Krishna took that subordinate role in relation to Arjuna. Or the night watchman. You know this from Mahabharata? There was a situation where the Pandavas were at risk. And so Krishna volunteered, you take rest, I'll stay up all night and guard. I'll stand right by the gate and guard you. And they accepted. Now, they know Krishna's position. Kunti knows, the Pandavas know. But because of the intimacy, the affection that they have, they permitted. They knew that Krishna wanted to do like that. The messenger, let me go to the Kurus and see if I can bring a solution to this war. He went as a messenger of the Pandavas. Menial servant, although he's the supreme personality in Godhead. Sometimes he took the position of presiding over the Rajasuya Yagya. He was the president, Prabhupada says here. The president. So, but he, whatever he did, whether it was the president, the messenger, the night watchman. Chotidar. Krishna the Chotidar. He did any one of those things just because it was reciprocation with the affection of the Pandavas. That's Krishna. And that's the Pandavas. So when Maharaj Parikshit would hear about these exchanges, he was in ecstasy. How intimate were my grandparents with Krishna? And how affectionate was Krishna upon my grandparents? He'd only seen Krishna within the womb. And that was it. But by hearing these descriptions, he became so jubilant. And devotees also, to the present day, when hearing these descriptions, if we can understand that it makes our affection for Krishna stronger, especially if we can understand his position as the supreme personality of Godhead, the creator of the whole cosmic manifestation, and then he enters into it, which is amazing, and then he behaves like the subordinate of people who are in it because of their affection. He becomes controlled by their affection. Richard, to hear that, he was thrilled. But he's a pure devotee too. So this method, the last comment is this. This method of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam brings in an appreciation of those finer sentiments that the age of Kali or the influence of Kali erodes and destroys. Finer sentiments are not prevalent in the lives of persons who are strongly influenced by the age of Kali. So once again, the point of regularly hearing from these very sublime. Srimad Bhagavatam specifically is compiled for the benefit of those who are victims of this age of Kali. There's in the first chapter of this first canto, there's six questions asked by the sages to Sutta Goswami. The last of those six questions is, now that Krishna has gone, his pastimes have completed, he's left this world. Now, where will the disprinciples be maintained? Because when Krishna came, he brought up by his influence, he maximized the principles of religion, and then he left. What now? So the sages hear with this reply from Sutta that the advent of Srimad Bhagavatam is where religious principles are now taking shelter. Just like the sun may set in the west, but simultaneously on the eastern horizon, a moon, a full moon as brilliant as the sun, may make its appearance just after the setting of the sun. Very nice metaphor. The sun, being Krishna, the brilliant, radiant sun, sets, Krishna disappears. And just after the disappearance of Krishna, the moon-like Srimad Bhagavatam, as brilliant as the sun, but with very cooling, soothing rays, not the heat of the sun. The Srimad Bhagavatam has made its appearance. So that's how it happened. Just after Krishna's departure, Kali Yuga began. And after Kali Yuga began, Maharaj Pariksit is cursed, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. So the same protection of religious principles that were being manifested by Krishna in his presence on earth is now, the Sutta is answering, is now the same shelter is available through Srimad Bhagavatam. And it becomes a shelter when we hear and discuss the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's valuable when it sits on your shelf. But its radiance comes, the splendor of Srimad Bhagavatam comes when we discuss it. According to scriptures, even if it sits on your shelf, it sanctifies your home. And a family who keeps Srimad Bhagavatam on their shelf, they're getting spiritual benefit by keeping a deity in your home. But a deity is meant to be worshipped, and the Bhagavatam is meant to be read. And even more than reading Bhagavatam, by discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because its topics, it's like a fruit in the first few verses of the Bhagavatam is compared to a ripened fruit, that when you take a ripened fruit, like you can take a mango and soften the mango from the outside, so the little whatever they are, those things that hold the juice, burst open, then you can just drink the juice of the mango. You've done that. So the Bhagavatam is similarly, by the action of discussing it, the juice comes out. The soothing, cooling rays, the protection of religious principles, the presence of Krishna comes just by discussing the topics of the Bhagavatam. Anyone who really seriously takes it up experiences that. They feel that their life is being uplifted by the presence of Krishna in their life, just by discussing very thoroughly, very carefully the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what I've been trying to do during our classes also. Okay, so see if there's any questions or some point you'd like to bring up. You have something?
Still, after practicing Krishna consciousness, also still the lower desires are.
That's true for almost everybody.
What are the steps that I should?
You continue the process. faithfully and attentively. One should not expect, just like if you go to a physician, you know the physician is expert, you know that they've diagnosed the disease properly, you know that their medicine is good, you take their medicine. But if you have a chronic problem, it's not going to go away just like that. Because it didn't happen just like that either. So our condition of covered consciousness is not just a short term, it's accumulation of long, long, long habits of directing our attention elsewhere. Our mind, like a monkey, jumping and jumping. It's hard to tame a monkey. So the process is effective. We just need to very faithfully and very attentively carry out the process. Well, I have no doubt in the statement you just made, you would probably have no doubt in the statement I'm about to make, and that is the accumulation of material desires and how that was having a hold on your life prior to you practicing Krishna consciousness is not the same now. There's progress. And within the lives of others, same. Which means the process is effective. So, based on that recognition and the realization the process is effective, invest further faith and diligent execution of the process. It's effective. Now, although the process is effective, one of the things that prevents us from progressing is our attachments to staying in one place. So it may be helpful for you to look at what are those things that you have deeply rooted attachments to and apply a little sadhu-like sword there to those things that you're attached to, like bodily conception of life. Not just things, but conceptions of who you are. Conception of self. I and mine. Again, like a comment that was made earlier, it's from the Bhagavatam, but from the purports we're reading, it's not that necessarily our activity needs to change in order to make further advancement. But rather, the consciousness behind your activity needs to change. It's a subtle process. So that the self-centeredness with which we function, we do what we do. The holding back. Once Prabhupada, more than once. One of the phrases that Prabhupada liked was, what Krishna is looking for is not what you're giving, but what you're holding back. You understand? In monetary sense, a poor person may give a small something, but it may be a large percentage of what they have. And a wealthy person may give a small something, but it's nothing compared to what he has. So what Krishna is looking to see is what we're holding back, not just what we're giving. So in another context, aside from monetary context, what is it that Krishna has given you? What endowments has Krishna provided you with? And to what extent are you recognizing they're meant for Krishna's pleasure and you're consciously applying them in that mood, Not even you need to change the activity, but just making sacrifice unto Krishna. Surrendering unto Krishna what belongs to Krishna. So back to a point that we heard earlier. Beware of being lazy. Beware of being complacent. Beware of holding on to material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in this matter. Material attachments doesn't mean just sacrifice of possessions. There's a very nice purport at the end of the fourth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, last verse. Sacrifice of possessions and sacrifice of the material conception of life, the two categories of sacrifice. Sacrifice of the material conception of life, which means to replace that material conception with a spiritual conception. That's a sacrifice. You have to be more diligent in that department than just sacrifice of possessions. Sacrifice of possessions can be, even to a certain degree, like a casual or even mindless act. Here's some charity. But to replace a material conception, to throw it out and put in a spiritual conception in its place, that's preventable work. It's a lifting to do that. Taking, wrapping up the misconception in a garbage thing and disposing of it and starting afresh. Sacrifice of the material, sacrifice of knowledge, or accepting spiritual knowledge. Knowledge is a precursor to detachment, jnana vairagya. So look carefully at the conceptions that you're carrying. Are they spiritual or material? Look closely at the regard that you have for Guru and Krishna. Am I in a mood of surrender, submission, gratitude, acceptance? Is that really what the mood that I have? Then, if the mood is right, then very quickly, material conceptions are easily discarded. Anything else?
After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we develop finer for appreciation of the different things. That appreciation itself induces us to accept.
Sure. It opens your heart. When your heart is open, then you can receive. Appreciation. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse that says that there are four measures. It doesn't say, I'm paraphrasing now. There are four measures by which one can measure one's progress. Or another way of saying the same things is when we're presenting Krishna consciousness to others, we may be looking for any one of four things. Someone surrenders their life. Someone surrenders their wealth. Someone surrenders their intelligence. And someone surrenders their appreciation. At least in a preaching work, just like this comment that was made earlier. Anshu's landlord, he's offering his appreciation. He's not giving his wealth, intelligence, or his life. But he's giving his appreciation. And so they've impacted that person's life by bringing out his appreciation. And so were they to then explain something, he would hear with an open heart. More so than when they first started living there and he didn't know them from anybody. offerings of respect and offerings of words of gratitude and appreciation. It's for the benefit of the person who's making those offerings. It opens their heart so they can receive something more than what they now have in a descending fashion. Really for their benefit.
American president is going out and selling Gujar House.
Yeah.
He also materially accomplished.
Yes.
He's not as spiritually.
Yeah. Well, it's to be understood that a person like that, and there's many other examples that one might give, people that are prosperous in one way or another. Our scriptures teach us, and it makes sense to me, that they have that position because of some past good activity. Now, what they do with that good activity, the word is kriti. So there's sukriti and duskriti. Here's $1,000,000. Now what are you going to do with it? $1,000,000 is because of something in the past. And if you're duskriti, you use it for some diabolical purpose. If you're sukriti, you use it for some good purpose. So persons who have kriti, who have merit, it's their responsibility to use that for the welfare of the upliftment of others, but not properly guided. I'm not saying that individual is a bad individual. I'm saying he hasn't gotten proper training. Now whether he'd be willing to accept proper training or not is another thing. He didn't get proper training. But has kriti. Is that all right? The processes are turning. Any other thoughts you want to share? You want the cause and effect, breakdown, technology. It's okay, we're trained like that. You pull this and that moves, and when that moves, and the next thing moves. Cause and effect of love and devotion. It doesn't quite happen like that. It happens through association. And the true association, it's an experience. One experiences purification, light enters, and darkness is dispelled, and things that you didn't see before you can see because there's light, and those things that make sense, because now you can see them, you apply them, and it gives you yet another experience called realization, which nurtures faith. One goes back then again to here, and in that increased faith disposition, one can hear what one didn't hear before, just like when you read Bhagavad Gita. First time reading Bhagavad Gita, it's interesting, but you miss so many things. And as you continue, you read the same section of Bhagavad Gita, and there's so many things you didn't see there before. Right? And it's then the natural response and the proper response is those things that you hear, you didn't hear before and make sense, then you try to apply them. And then once again, as you apply them, aha, you get some experience. Wow, it really works. You get confirmation, jnana, big jnana, knowledge and realization. And as you get that realization, it nurtures faith. So it's an ongoing awakening of a relationship with the Krishna, who is the source of that knowledge. And those who assist Krishna in awakening that knowledge that you already have. Not just if you have it on your shelf, but you have it in your heart. And it just opens by association. And the medium of that association is service. Beginning part of service is hearing. And then, for verification's sake, you repeat. And then you apply it. So progressively, the relationship is a relationship. According to scriptures, if you want the technology of it all, the push and pull of it all, the cause and effect, it starts with hearing. That's the benefit of associations. Good association will diminish ignorance and passion, and bring light. In that condition of light, there's hearing, so I can hear better than I could without association if I just read or think. So you're establishing a relationship that gradually unfolds. Starts with hearing, with the preliminary faith that I'd like to try to understand that much. Not that I believe everything, just I'd like to try to understand. There must be something beyond all of this worldly stuff, if I'm convinced. I have that faith. That preliminary faith I have. There's something. So let me hear. That's where it begins. And when there's good association, then that the bhakti that's in the heart of that person is shared with you. It's a little spills on you. From their bhakti vessel. They just give you some bhakti. And it's very nice. Very natural. And it increases. It's a relationship. It starts with hearing. Faithful here in the association. Dao Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya. With that sadhu, you do things that sadhus do with that sadhu. That's sadhu sangha. Bhajana Kriya. That's what you do. And then gradually, that faith is nourished because you get some realizations. It keeps, so it's self-propelling. Because we're spirit souls, we're attracted to that which will draw us towards happiness and light. Those places where the light is shining from, just where it's natural, we're drawn to them. Happiness is coming, light is coming, understanding is coming, feeling this is right, it's coming. Keep going. It starts with the hearing process. With a little faith, preliminary faith, that then becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the relationship, hearing with faith, and applying. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shri Prabhupada's key.